Show.
839 1360 97.5 WTAQ News. Talk. Sports. Oh, you know what? It just occurred to me. I forgot a story. I can get it out of email. Mary Burke is releasing an attack ad today on Governor Scott Walker, which is ripe with hypocrisy. And I need to find some time in the show. And we've got a lot of stuff. I'm going to try to discipline myself here better than I usually do and get to a lot of stuff today. I've got a couple of good, I think, very interesting conversation topics for you to weigh in on. But I just got a lot of stuff to tell you about. And that's actually one of them. And I forgot about that one. I've already got just a ton of stuff here. After 9 o'clock, very interesting topic. And it is one, this is what's interesting about it in one regard. It's a topic we did just a couple of years ago. And technology has made what we talked about then even worse now than it was then. It says a lot about human nature. And you can go all the way back to the 50s when rock and roll showed up and the oldsters then said, we're going to hell. Maybe they were right. I will explain. We'll get into that after 9 o'clock. I want to start with a couple of things here. Earlier this month, and to my knowledge, and I'm just saying to my knowledge, no other media in the Green Bay area have reported this. There have been several things I've told you that the Northeast Wisconsin media hasn't told you about. I continue to harp on the UWGB incoming chancellor and the circumstances under which he left his previous job. That's not original reporting on my part. I just took the reporting from out east from where he left. So look, these are pretty interesting circumstances under which he left. Nobody here will pick up that story. A couple of TV stations picked up the story of an NWTC instructor using NWTC email for campaign purposes for Mary Burke. Even AP statewide, although they hatcheted the story, did that. Kudos to NBC 26 and Fox 11 for picking up on my reporting of that story and doing stories of their own. Shame on the rest of the media for not picking up the NWTC story. I forgot to shame them yesterday. Shame on them. What, because you got beat, now you're not going to do it? That goes for Channel 5, Channel 2, and the paper. So now you're not going to do it now, even though AP did a story on it. Here's another one that I don't think the media, I haven't seen it anywhere. Republican candidates for public office who signed recalls back in 2011 or 2012, either against Scott Walker or Republican state Senate candidate. Now, I told you about two. Two of them happened to be candidates for the same public for the same county office. Clerk of Courts, Donna Mason was one of them, and the other, Julia Hornberg. Mason did return my call back then. Julia Hornberg has never returned my call. They both signed the Walker recall. I have now learned Donna Mason also signed the Rob Coles recall. Both of these women are qualified in the office, but there is another candidate, County Supervisor John Vanderlees, who the Republican Party of Brown County hasn't come out and endorsed, but recognizes that he's been a great foot soldier. Now, because of his work on the county board, John also has qualifications. And what I said at that time is, you decide. You, as a Brown County voter, you decide how important that is in the clerk of courts. Now, earlier last month, it was learned that an assembly candidate in a Republican primary had signed the gubernatorial recall. That was Jackie Jarvis in Sheboygan County. I have learned that a candidate in a Republican primary to replace Chad Weininger in the 4th Assembly District, Chad taking a county job, so there he won't be seeking re-election in the 4th. There are candidates in a primary for the Republican nomination, and you would think that the Republican nominee would have a good chance of winning that seat. One of the Republican candidates in that primary in the 4th Assembly District signed the recall petition to recall State Senator Rob Coles. That candidate is County Supervisor Corey Campbell. Now, I learned this yesterday. I reached out to the only phone number that I have for her, and she did not return my call as of when I took to the air this morning. Now, I know she finds out what I say about her because I criticized her for making a big deal about the residency of another candidate. She approached me at a speaking event I was at and said she wasn't making a big deal about it. Well, no, the paper just made a big deal out of it because I said something about it. I didn't find that very plausible. Now, I don't know what her explanation would be for signing a recall petition for a Republican state senator. I don't know because she didn't get back to me. I did speak to Brown County Republican Party Chairman Mark Becker about this in terms of their take on a Republican candidate signing a recall against a Republican state senator. Mark said it's the position of the Brown County Republican Party, of course, that Senator Coles has their 100% unqualified support. I'm in a position where I'm not often in a position when these things come up. I am in the 4th Assembly District. Chad Weininger is currently my representative. So I will be voting in this primary. Oftentimes I have to speak in a hypothetical sense. I don't here because I will be casting a vote in this primary on August 12th. I will tell you what this means to me. If you live in the 4th Assembly District and you'll be voting in the Republican primary, you can decide what it means to you, to me, and I want to be clear, I'm speaking only for myself. This is disqualifying. And I can't imagine what explanation she could provide to me that would change my opinion on that. To me, this disqualifies her from being a Republican Assembly candidate on the fall general ballot. Let me explain why. And there's no small slice of irony here that this involves Rob Coles. I happen to know that I'm not Rob's favorite person. Rob thinks I'm too critical of him. And I have been very critical of Rob. I think, is it possible sometimes, maybe, on talk radio, you get passionate, and it was slightly overheated, perhaps. But for the most part, I think the things for which I criticized him are valid. Let me take a step back on this. I worked my butt off on this show for him during that recall. I urged you to volunteer for him. I urged you to vote for him. I urged you to have his back because he supported Act 10, if you live in Rob's district. And I said something. I said, Rob, the conservative voters who had your back expect you to remember that. I feel there are critical issues, school choice among them, where he didn't remember that. So I called him out on it. But I want you to understand something, Rob. I can't vote for someone who considers themselves a Republican who wants to go to Madison and work ostensibly with you over in the Senate from the Assembly and with Governor Scott Walker when she signed a recall petition whose end game was to remove you from office to try to give a majority to Democrats in the Senate. Whatever you think I think of you, Rob, and whatever you think of me, I could never vote for someone who tried to remove you from office or wanted to see you removed from office. So you and I should probably sit down and talk sometime, Rob. Because I know you've just... Well, no, he just is going to attack me. Well, let's sit down and talk. Because I don't agree with everything you do doesn't mean we're on the same side. It's hard for me to see Corey Campbell as being on the same side as Rob Coles when she signed a piece of paper whose intent was to remove him from office. Unlike a clerk of courts race, I think it's pretty clear here, or should be, for conservative voters, that this is a factor. Now, I doubt, again, she didn't return my call, I doubt that she signed the recall against Rob Coles because she didn't think he was conservative enough. I kind of doubt that was what was going on with her thinking, but I don't know because she didn't return my call. Yeah, I don't know about that, Jason. An emailer pointed something out. I have now shared with you three incidents of Republican candidates who have signed recalls against Republicans, and the three candidates who signed those recalls are all women. Well, now, two of them are public employees, and I think that was worrying more about their own bacon than their principles. That's what I believe. And again, you can decide how important that is in clerk of courts. I think it's something to consider. In the assembly race, I think it's hugely important. And therefore, in my opinion, it disqualifies Corey Campbell for my consideration. I suppose, as I said, she could reach out to me and offer what she sees as a plausible explanation, but I can't hardly imagine it. So there, if you're a Republican voter in the 4th Assembly District, now you know. You can decide what it means to you that Corey Campbell signed a recall petition to remove a Republican elected official, ostensibly who would be an ally working shoulder to shoulder on most issues, and that she would go down and support and work with Scott Walker. Again, I'm going to say this one more time. I did reach out to the only phone number that I have for her, and I did not get a response. Speaking of a response, I have to rip the paper for this just because it's so laughable, and I've not ripped the local paper in a long time, have I, Jason? I can't think of the last time I did it. I only have about 4 minutes to do it now, 3 minutes. I did a brief segment on the basketball hoops being removed from Fisk Park because it was causing problems. Neighbors said that people using them were rowdy. And I said, look, I just don't know. I don't know if this was an overreaction by police. I just don't know. I then received emails from two neighbors who said, Jerry, it was horrible. Paper has an editorial today. No one likes to see everyone punished for the actions of the few. And that appears to be what happened last summer when police removed four basketball hoops at Fisk Park because of unruly behavior. But when the actions of those few compromise safety for other park users, neighbors and police who say they were at times outnumbered 10 to 1 during disturbances, something needs to be done. Green Bay Police instituted a five-point plan that included talking with the youth and having the gang task force try to build rapport with park users. When that didn't work, when the problems escalated after that, police removed the rims from the hoops. Problem solved. In fact, it worked so well to quell disturbances that the police department was surprised and has continued it this year. We would normally argue that removing the hoops should be a last resort, but it appears it was. We were ready to argue against what many see as a heavy-handed action and that the police should look to communicate with those who use the park, but it appears they have. It's difficult to fault the police for taking this approach when it worked so well after nothing else had. All right, so what they're saying is, yeah, it sounds like it was that bad and they had to do it. Okay? So they agree with police, right? Saying, yeah, it looks like they tried everything and their last resort was, all right, we're taking the rims. Because nothing's working. However, now that almost a year has passed, we believe it's time to put the hoops back in the park and see if the situation has cooled. Well, yes, it's cooled. You know why? They took the hoops. What do you think is going to have changed? Now, I suppose you could argue, well, they learned their lesson and they're going to behave. I don't think so. This appears to be an unruly element. They tried reasoning with them. They tried everything else. Taking away the one thing that facilitated their behavior is the only thing that changed their behavior. You know, this reminds me of when liberals in general say, you know, we got tough on crime here in Wisconsin in the 1990s. More prisons, tougher penalties, and crime went down. What do liberals say now? Well, crime went down. Why do we need all the draconian stuff for? Ugh. Because that's why crime went down. They tried everything they could to remove the problem, short of removing the hoops. Didn't work. So they removed the hoops. It worked, and now because it worked, you want them to put the hoops back? That is just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. We think the committee, the Parks Committee, should return the hoops and see whether the problem has abated. And then if it doesn't, take the hoops down again? There will be flashes of anger and aggressiveness that you hopefully don't see off the court. Perhaps that aggressiveness can be misconstrued by the casual spectator or passerby. What the hell? Before you said you agreed. From what I heard from neighbors, it was a problem. It fixed the problem. I do not think the hoops should be returned. What is the matter with people? That's my tease for a topic at 9:06. It's 8:56.